Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. I've got one last lesson, one last thought for you today. And it really comes around this dynamic of adults and kids, this next generation dynamic. When I look at the different generations, I see a couple of trends that come up. I don't know. I'm assuming that a lot of you, like me, maybe you're getting older, maybe you consider yourself to be older, maybe you just consider yourself to be really old, I don't know. But you and I have this tendency to think back and dream about how things were, don't we? Some of you, you're thinking about, you know, oh man, when I was growing up, we would sit around and we'd play Nintendo together. And remember that PlayStation game when it came out? And, oh, yeah, Blockbuster and all these things. Some of you are thinking back and being like, remember when they created air travel? And what a time to be alive. And do you remember when we got our first Model T? But you're thinking... No, seriously, but you think back to when you were a kid, and like how many times do you say, or do you hear somebody say, when I was a kid, we could get that for a nickel? Right? Right? Man, I used to walk into a store and get a bag of chips and a Pepsi for 25 cents, and I didn't have to steal it. And like, but you think back to when you were younger, don't you? And you enjoy that, and you think about it, and you kind of end up looking at the world today, and you're like, man, I wish it was more like when I was a kid. Right? Meanwhile, there are others of you here who fall into the younger category, and all you can think about is, man, I can't wait to get older. Right? I can't wait to drive. I can't wait to be able to have my own money. I can't wait to be able to go see the movies I wanna see, buy the games, play the games I wanna play. I can't wait to not be told what to do every second of the day. Right? Uh-huh. Maybe you have some kids that have vocalized that to you, and all they dream about is they want the future to come here now, right? Those same kids, they tend to look at adults, and one of the big issues they have with adults is they look at the adults and they go, why do they constantly talk trash about us? Why are they constantly condescending us as kids? And of course, you adults who are here, you look at the kids and go, man, if I did that when I was a kid, I wouldn't have been able to sit down for a week. Kids these days have no respect. Heard that one? Said that one? And we look at kids and we're like, why are they so messed up? Is the thought that goes through the adults' minds. Kids feel like adults don't understand anything they're going through, anything they're facing, anything that is happening in the world. They go, oh, Mom, Dad, like, no, that's not how you do that on your email, or that's not how this works, or that's not, no, that's, he's an artist. And adults look at kids and go, man, you're so wild, you're so disrespectful, like, smarten up. You notice that our kids have this kind of growing level of anxiety in our world, and adults have this kind of growing level of disappointment, depression. The midlife crisis happens because you get to the middle of your life and you're like, this is not fulfilling to me. I think that's wrong. I don't think that's how it's intended to be, and I don't think those are the dynamics that God wants for us and our families and our community. I don't think it's supposed to be this adults versus kids dynamic. And so there are a few verses that I want to read, because I wanted to figure this out. I wanted to navigate this. I wanted to understand it a little bit better. And so there are a few verses that we're going to tackle, and there are a bunch of scriptures that we could dive into to unpack this. But I'm going to give us three key passages, hopefully to help us navigate this. Number one is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, okay? This is what it says. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Next passage is found in Malachi. It says, the prophet will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the hearts of the children to the parents, or else I will come and strike the land with destruction. And finally, one more passage in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7, it says this: remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. See, I think presently what's happening is that adults are looking back into the past. They're looking backwards, and they are getting lost. They are getting lost in the memory, lost in history, lost in what happened before, and they're getting lost in that. Meanwhile, kids are looking forward to the future, and they're looking forward, and they just create chaos. But what's really supposed to happen is that the adults are supposed to be looking forward to the future, and the kids are supposed to be looking back to the past. Ashley, can you and Macy come up? Come on. we have this dynamic where if this is the line of history, okay, what ends up happening is, Mom, you come stand here. You're looking back into the past. Look to the past, and you're here, and you're looking to the future. Okay? She's stuck looking in the past. Oh, remember the glory days. Right? Remember how it used to be. It used to be so good. It used to be so good. Meanwhile, child is here looking. Don't look at me. Look that way. Is looking to the future and dreaming about what is going to come, what's possible, what's coming down the line, what can it all be? What's wrong with this dynamic? They're not together. Now turn around. Now we have a situation where if mom is looking to the future and daughter is looking to the past, what are they actually looking at? It? Each other. Thank you. They're going to go have a panic attack now. This is what I think we need to grab here today. I think for the health of our families, for the health of our community, for the health of our larger family, that this room is, we need to look to each other, not away from each other. We need to look to each other, not away from each other. If you know your biblical history at all, you know that the Israelites were promised a special land, and that they were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, and then finally they cried out. God heard them. God sent Moses to them, and he went through this process where he stood up to Pharaoh, and God did all these miracles, and he set the people free, and he sent them out of Egypt to head to the promised land. And along the way, some things went sideways, and the people were being just foolish, and eventually they made it to the promised land. And they were there, and they sent some spies into the land to check it out and see, is this a good territory? What do we need to do to prepare to take it? And when they went there, they saw giants. They saw all these scary giant people, and they were terrified. And out of the 12 spies, only 2 of them felt like they could make it. And we have this interesting response take place in this story. We have part of the community go, why did we leave Egypt? We should have just stayed in Egypt. There were onions there. Onions! Can you believe that we gave up our onions to be here? It was so good. I could go down to Pharaoh's market and buy a dozen onions for 3 pennies. And other people looked forward and went, there are giants there. There are giants. We can't go there. We can't face that. There's no way we can tackle that. There's no way I can face the problems that are coming. And there were just 2 spies, 2 of them, that said, no. No, I don't want to go back to Egypt. And I remember what God did in the past, and those giants are not a problem for him. They remembered the past, and it gave them hope for the future. While others got stuck looking to the past, dreaming about the past, ignoring all the horrible things that happened in the past because they had onions. And you had others who were just petrified of the future and what needed to happen, what needed desperately to happen was for them to look at each other, to remember what God has done in the past and dream about the future. It wasn't just about the promised land and it wasn't just about Egypt. It was together. Look at each other. We need to look at each other, not away from each other. See, adults should be looking forward and directing and guiding and giving wisdom and information and training to the next generation to guide them into the future. And those who, young people, as you're growing up, you need to turn around and you need to look at the adults who have come before you and say, teach me. Tell me what I've missed. Show me the information that I don't have. Train me up for what's coming next. And it's interesting that we've looked at these passages and it says, like in Hebrews, imitate their faith. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. He's saying to young people, look at those who came before you. Consider what God did in their lives and you get faith. Faith is an anxiety killer. Faith says, I don't know what's coming, but I trust God is big enough. And I know God is strong enough. And I know God loves me, and He loves my family, and He is fighting this battle, and whatever comes, I can face it because I am not facing it alone, because I know what God has done before, and He's going to do it again. And it says in Peter, that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that never fades. For some reason, we think the glory days are behind us. The glory is coming. And by investing in our kids, by focusing on young people, on the next generation, there's glory coming. Not depression, not missing out, not emptiness, not a lack of fulfillment. Glory. Man, what would our community look like if our kids had faith and our adults were pursuing the glory yet to come? How fulfilled would our kids be? How fulfilled would we as adults and parents and grandparents and leaders and elders, how fulfilled would we be living in the glory of seeing our kids be full of faith, full of passion, full of purpose, and driving into the future? Not just doing dumb things and creating chaos, but passionately pursuing the kingdom of God and creating an incredible new future. Full of glory. We see this mistake in industry. Industries that get better are ones that learn from the past and pursue new ideas. When you forget the past, you end up creating chaos with your creations. When you don't pursue new ideas, nothing gets better. And it is so easy for us to just look away from each other, for young people to look to the future, and those who are older, who are elders, to look to the past, thinking that's where their glory is. That's going to give them the answers. And the truth is that we need to stop looking away from each other, and we need to look to each other. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do with this? Folks, whether you're a parent, grandparent, just an adult, you consider yourself a senior, whatever, you're not in the kid category anymore. Your job, all of you who are adults in this room, your job is not simply to put up with children until they become adults. Your job is not simply to raise kids until they are independent beings. Your job is to invest in them, to train them to be great, godly, good men and women of God. Your job is not simply to parent. Your job, whether you're a parent or not, is to invest in those who are younger than you so that they become great men and women of God who face problems with faith, who make decisions by faith, who have learned from the past, don't make the same mistakes, and are filled with hope for the future. Young people, your job is not simply to put up with mom and dad because they're so boring. Your job is to learn from them. If you want to be a great man or woman, look to your elders. You don't need to copy everything they do. You don't need to agree with everything they say. But you need to look to them and learn from them. You need, our children, our young people need to change how they pursue growing up. And adults, we need to change how we carry the responsibility of raising our children. We need to change how we parent. Young people, get good mentors in your life. Whether it's mom or dad or somebody else who's trustworthy and wise and godly, who can help you pursue things, good things. You need those people in your life. Seek them out. Elders in the room, make yourself available to the young people. Serve them, guide them, direct them. Stop putting up with them. They desperately need you to love them, to care for them, to protect them, to fight for them, and to train them. That's where your glory comes. And most importantly, just look to each other. Parents, look to your kids. Kids, look to your parents, to your guardians, to your elders. We need to stop ignoring each other. We need to start looking to each other. And then we will find a generation of adults and seniors who are excited about the future and the glory that Christ is bringing. And we will see kids who are filled with honor and faith, not depression and anxiety and fear. We need to look to each other, not away from each other. The worship team's going to come up, and they're going to do two or three more songs here. And during this time, I want you to process this a little bit. Maybe God is saying to you, you've got to change how you parent. That you've been just surviving and you haven't really considered that you need to start disciplining and training and leading your kids to train them, not just to maintain peace in the house. How do I actually train them to be great men and women of God? What disciplines need to be put in place so that they don't repeat those negative behaviors? What do I need to do to guide them? Maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know what, I have ignored the kids around me long enough, and I've just talked trash about them for so long that I haven't even considered what they're going through and how I can help. And you've got to start thinking about, how can you help? How can you invest in them? And maybe you're a young person, maybe you're a kid, maybe you're in your 20s or 30s and you're still looking at your elders going, what a bunch of morons. But you're looking up, you're looking to them and you're just thinking they don't know anything. We need to change our perspectives and we need to look to those who have gone before us and go, what do they know? What have they learned? And how can their wisdom and their experience make me more faithful, more wise? Stronger to face the future. Whatever it is that God is whispering to you, yelling at you, speaking to you, listen to Him and pursue Him. And most of all, let Christ do that work in you from the inside out, because we need to start looking to each other, not away from each other.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.